Chris Patola, Sirius XM, and an Army veteran. So first of all, we got to start Army-Navy. I know who you got, so I'm not even worried about asking you for a prediction. But here's what I've always been curious about. For people who have served, and you did, you served in the Iraq War. Do you look at this game as a football game, an event? Did you pay attention to this game when you were serving? Take me through the eyes, the mind of somebody who served in the Army, how you look at this game.
I look at this game as a celebration. I look at this game as our moment to sort of put on display what it means to be a cadet. I always saw this a little bit, Adam, as isolated from the military itself, like the regular Army or regular Navy. This was an opportunity for the two academies to sort of show the world. I mean, it's the only game. It's obviously the networks do, a tremendous job of covering it. And I think is a moment for the two service academies to show the world what it means to be. It's an advertisement, to be honest with you, for the academies. Mm-hmm. And, look, a lot of my I root for Army. Whether Army loses or wins the game, it's not going to affect my night's sleep. It's not going to affect the day after. So I'm not as dug in that respect. I'm just proud. You know, it's I think pride, Adam, is really the feeling I feel the most.
Chris Patola is joining us here. Do you have anything in your house that says go Army, beat Navy?
We do, yeah, and it's a lot of them, actually. We've got a lot of Go Army, Beat Navy. It's funny, I did college basketball, had a game on an aircraft carrier a few weeks ago with Michigan State and Gonzaga, and I was able to do that. And even then, the Navy folks gave me a hard time, man. I mean, some of the joking is as real as it gets.
I played golf not that long ago. And I forget the guy's name I played with, but he was an Army grad. And he told me, and I had no way of really challenging this because I had no clue. He told me that it was harder for Army. When Army wins a football game, it's more of an accomplishment over Navy. It's more of an accomplishment because he said that Army's recruiting is more difficult than Navy's because everybody knows going in that in a time of struggle, you're the call up. Yeah. Is it more difficult for Army to recruit players who can not only handle the academics, but are also willing to make that ultimate sacrifice?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to compare the level of sacrifice.
Sports and I know that's radio, not what Chris, what doing. We do.
Yeah, well, in all seriousness, I mean, when I was in Iraq, I saw maybe three people in the Navy. I saw more Air Force than I saw Navy. And I am the first to let people know that. But, I think certainly during Afghanistan and Iraq, and I mean, I've heard this from coaches at Army. I do think it was a harder sell because, again, you know, 80% of the fighting force during those conflicts were Marines and were Army, U.S. Right. Army. The other thing, Adam, and I don't know if you've been up there to West Point or if you've been to Navy, and this is the truth, Annapolis is a much more attractive town. Annapolis being the town where Navy is a much more attractive town than Highland Falls, the town right outside of Army. Mm-hmm. And so I just think from a visit standpoint and all of that, I think there's a lot to sell for Navy. But there is no doubt. There is no question that the commitment of the U.S. Army during those two conflicts, Afghanistan and Iraq, increased the difficulty of all of the sports at Army when it came to recruiting.
Chris Patola, an Army veteran, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Also a basketball analyst for ESPN and Sirius XM, host on Sirius XM. First of all, Mikey Stadium might be the most beautiful setting that there is in all of college sports. And I know these games are always played, whether it's in Philadelphia. I know they've been played in other places, but ultimately it's usually Philadelphia. I would love to see a one-off at Mikey or a one-off in Annapolis, just to highlight the campuses, too. I guess you can highlight the campuses in other ways, but, man, the setting at Mikey Stadium is second to none in college football, in my opinion. All right, let me, setting the game aside, let me ask you to put your college basketball hat on. So what's wrong with UNC? I've heard a lot of people pontificate about what's wrong. I really think what's wrong is the expectations that last year, the last, say, 4 weeks of last season, everybody has assigned that as the norm, as opposed to the reality of maybe the first 3.5 months of last season. What do you think is plaguing UNC so far?
Yeah, I think you hit one of the points I've tried to make is, look, are you a believer that they were going to come back more like the team that played well for a month? Are you a believer that they are the team that did not play all that well for 3 months? And so that was an important question to ask. And then you add on top of that, you add expectations, you add dynamics in terms of agendas. I mean, you know as well as I, Adam, when you go to a national championship game, whether you win that game or not, you know, those guys go home for the summer, or they talk to all their buddies and friends and family over the summer. And the conversation goes from not so much, you know, can we win a national championship getting there? You've done that. Now it's how do we get to the league? Right. And what you need to do this year to set yourself apart. And so I think they have a dynamic problem. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And then I think they have a guard problem. Like, this is, to me right now, this is on RJ Davis and Caleb Love. Mm-hmm. Those two guys are playing on disparate islands. I mean, they could not be more disconnected than they are. And I think it's permeating throughout that team. Look, they weren't a great perimeter shooting team last year, but that team shared the ball way better than they are so far this season. They had defensive issues last year, so it's not like, you know, right, their inability to defend at times this year is something new. This comes down to those two guards and the way that they have played to start this year. And I think that's where it begins. And, you know, where that thing changed a little bit last year, too, was like Brady Manek finally said, look, I came here to win. And what do we need to do in order to start doing that? And I don't think they've had that guy yet who has kind of stood up and said, yo, we better get our act together.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses, so don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
So I think they have a dynamic problem, and I think, you know, it certainly is permeating into some of the basketball elements of it. But until they figure out those dynamics, they got a ways to go.
One of the reasons I love having Chris Spitola on is that you are a big thinker. So I want to get, with our remaining three minutes or so, I want to get to a big thinking part of our conversation. What are your thoughts on the massive numbers of players, this is about football probably more than anything, who are in the transfer portal, and any possible connection to name, image, and likeness?
Well, I think this is what you do now. Like, I think people have to understand that generationally, when you have grown up with something that's becoming relatively normalized for your generation, this becomes a part of the process. You know, like we as I rail about this as much as anybody. Like, I'm a believer in process. Like, for me, my process was failing and failing and failing over and over again and coming back and asking for more.
Right.
And then trying to figure out, okay, I'm not playing. I'm on the bench. Well, the only solution when I grew up, and probably when you grew up, was, well, you got to get better. You got to figure out how to do that. Well, it ain't like that anymore. Like, this is now part of the deal where these guys are trying to find a new place. And, you know, what I've said is, look, I do think generationally there's something to be said about that. And I don't know if it's necessarily a product or a formula for long-term success. But if we are covering the sport or we are coaching in the sport, what we have to realize is that our way of thinking is not the way that younger people are thinking now. Right. What younger people are doing is what their peers are doing. And so I think the sooner we can wrap our heads around that, I think we can start to build some guardrails around, we can come to a happy medium. And I think, you know, the portal windows that we now have established, I think those can be condensed more, but I think that was sort of a happy medium. Okay, the portal's a reality. How can we make it more manageable from an organizational standpoint? But that's, look, I'm done getting up in arms about this. You know, if you want to ask me about why there's more transferring, we can get into that. But do I think it signals the downfall of college athletics? No. And I think it's funny to me when coaches start talking about, you know, the issue they have with it. Are they lamenting the pathology that young people now have, or are they lamenting how much harder it's made their job? And yeah. I think that's where I'm trying now to parse this thing out.
No question. All right, this is going to be on you here because I know you have to go, but I'm going to ask this question, and you can be as brief as you need to be. I got a disturbing email from a North Carolina basketball fan that he blames what's going on, and I should have asked this before, but I forgot because I'm not good at this. But he blames name, image, and likeness, and the fact that Baycott has made X amount of dollars or Love has made X amount of dollars for the problems that we see with UNC basketball. I think that's insulting to what I believe to be our competitive people, because they couldn't have achieved this without having a level of competitiveness to separate themselves from others. What do you say to people like that who have the notion that this is all about kids are getting all this money and now they don't have to try hard?
I think the money that they're making pales in comparison to what they could be making if they become professionals playing the sport. And that's even in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I have no doubt that money in pocket could have affected who these guys were during the summer. I have no doubt that it could affect – look, I said this a moment ago. Like, there's no question that people get in their ears and say, hey, look, you had a great year. You went to a national championship. Here's what you have to do this season in order to make it to the league. But I think it's overly simplistic to say, well, they have NIL money and it's affecting the way in which this team plays. Ultimately, there's a lot more money at stake on the side of those guys playing well than those guys not. And so I would differ with that opinion.
I actually feel bad for the people who have that opinion, because that's the way I look at it. It's a low opinion of somebody. It's if you think that about Baycott or Love or Davis or whoever, Leaky Black, then you have no respect for them as people. Forget about as athletes. I have a problem with that. I have the most respect for you, and I'm not letting you go, though, until you say, go Army, beat Navy.
Go Army, beat Navy. Let's go.
The man, Chris Pitola. I appreate your time, my man, @Chris_Pitola. Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you, my friend. It's great talking to you, Adam.
You got it.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th.
Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.